Good afternoon, everybody. How you doing? Good food? So far, so good? I didn't eat it. I've learned not to eat before I speak at these things, because then I'm going, turning your Bibles to the book of barbecue and Asian food and stuff like that. My name is Greg Mott, and I'm the pastor at Houston's First Baptist Church, and it's a joy to be with you. David Self is usually with you. If you come regularly, you know that I'm not David, and David is on a trip. You can tease him when he gets back. He's in Colorado doing ministry for the Lord. So isn't it great when God calls you to awesome places, you know? I've been asking the Lord to call me to Hawaii, but just hadn't. He'd said, no, Houston. I said, well, Hawaii, Houston, no. They have H's, but that's as close as it gets pretty much. So I just want to talk with you just a little bit and give you a little Bible study and hopefully a little shot in the arm this week to be able to keep on going. And so if you're behind this big column and you can't see me, feel free to move if you want to or whatever you want to do, and I'll try to move around a little bit as well. But I want to welcome you and tell you a little bit. God is doing some amazing things at our church that I don't know if David's told you about or not, but we started a campus. Somebody was just asking me. Diane was asking me about it just a few minutes ago. I won't point you out, Diane. You're the lady right there in that table with the orange shirt with her head down. But don't want to bring any attention to you. She was asking me about our Cypress campus. And so we started a campus out in Cypress, and we have a campus that's actually right here in this very room in downtown on Sunday mornings, and then one down in Sienna Plantation, and then our Loop campus at 610 and I-10. So if you're looking for a church, we're all over the city now, which is really exciting to think about. So Sienna Plantation is way down south, and Cypress is up north, and the Loop is right, the downtown is right here, and the Loop is at 610 and I-10. You can go to the website and get a bunch of information about that. But I want to talk a little bit about something in John chapter 15. If you brought a Bible, you can turn to John 15. But I want to talk about a word that's very familiar to us. We got the verse there on the page as well. The word love. Think about how much we hear that word love. We hear that all the time. All you need is love. Good Beatles song, right? For all you baby boomers. Love. I've been thinking about that and God's love. And my challenge with that, and I hope that y'all will just let me ponder some things with you a little bit, is love a lot of times gets to be a very feminine thing. And ladies, I love that. Love that. Love that. But at the same time, how do we, as a man, how do you process the love of God? How do you process the love of God as a female as well? I've got a 5-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old son. My 5-year-old is much more into love than my 11-year-old boy is. So she writes notes, and I love you, and she writes hearts. And even the other day, I was telling her good night, and she said, I want you to kiss me after every word you say. And I was like, have a good night, and I love you. Kiss, kiss, kiss. And then my wife's like, I kind of would like that too, you know? There's something in you as ladies, and we should learn from it, men, that love, boy, that's great. So men, we can kind of forget about Valentine's Day, and women, you got it maybe marked on the calendar. Maybe you said, no, I forgot about that years ago. It's a depressing day for me. I don't know. But love isn't just to be a feminine thing. It's not just to be a childish thing. And in our society, it's not to be just some ethereal thing that you hold up that we kind of know, you know what, guess what, it's not all going to work. Everybody in society is not going to love each other. It's never worked in all of history. It's not going to start now. But at the same time, we should be loving people to love people, right? We should do that. But we know that there's still going to be wars and fights and battles and lawsuits and lawyers and, you know, different things like that. It's just how it goes. But how do we take love to really understand it? And so I've been pondering that and thinking about that. I'm a type A, go-getter type of person. And so what happens is a lot of times I can do things for God instead of receive things from God. Have you ever felt like that? What does God want me to do instead of what God wants me to receive? And so when we realize that he wants us to receive love from him, how do we really understand that you're loved? I'm loved, and that's not just a feminine thing, no offense to the ladies, not just a childish thing, though we love when my little daughter comes up and wants to hug and kiss, that's as sweet as it can be. It is a thing for all of us to understand that we are loved. And when we receive the depths of God's love to the depths of our soul, it changes how we live life. Could you believe that it would be true? Would you think that it would be true that if we really experienced the love of God, that would help us with our stress in life? If we really knew we were loved, That would help us with the stress in life. But in my life, a lot of times I'm operating in a very stressful place in life more than when I am in a very receive love life place in life. Even it can seem kind of simple, can it? Well, what do you mean? Love? Let's look into God's word and let's see this thing about love. How does God love us? What does he want to show us with that? It's in John chapter 15, and it's found in verse 10 and 11 is what I want you to look at. This is the abiding chapter. It says that we abide in Christ and Christ in us, meaning we live in Christ and Christ lives in us. Look at verse 10 and 11. Verse 9 too. I'll say that. We don't have it on the screen or on the page, but let me say it. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. That first verse of verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, that's Jesus saying this, so I have loved you. Now get our minds around that for just a second. As the Father has loved Jesus, Jesus has loved us. Do you and I realize, because I don't, I'll just say very in the beginning, I don't, that the amount of love that God has to Jesus, how big is that love? That's huge. That's unfathomable. That's grand. That's great. That's Christianity, right? That God sent his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. As God loves Jesus, Jesus loves me. Wow. So what is this love? How is this defined? Now, if you were to take some kids' quotes on love, I gave you about my daughter. Let me give you a couple of quotes of kids on love. This is what they say. Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other. That's love. Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and says he is handsomer than Tom Cruise. Mike, age 10, says, on a first date, they each tell each other a bunch of lies, and that usually gets him enough interested to go on a second date. That's a little bit true, isn't it, unfortunately? Single people in the room are like, amen. Bobby, age 8, and Bobby is a player, okay? This is what Bobby is. Bobby's a player. Love will find you even if you try to hide from it. I've been trying to hide from it since I was 5, but the girls keep finding me. That's good. Bobby's a player. When you tell someone something bad about yourself and you're scared they won't love you anymore, but then you get surprised because not only do they still love you, but they love you even more. That's good. Love is what's in the room at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen. When you love somebody, your eyelashes, it's got to be a girl, ladies. When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. And then Bart, age 9, Bart's a player too. I think Bart and Bobby are probably friends. One way to get somebody to love you is to take a girl out to eat. Make sure it's something she likes. French fries usually work for me. Now, ladies in this room, you're like, you take me to get French fries, it's over from the very beginning. It needs to be something a lot higher level than French fries. What is love? Jesus is loved by God, and Jesus loves us the same way. Let me give you 3 words about this thing of love. How did the Father love Jesus? And how does Jesus love us? Number one, passionately. Passionately. As a father to a son. Passionately as a father to a son. How many of y'all are parents? Raise your hand just real quick. Awesome. A lot of parents in the room. Some of y'all will be parents one day. That's good. Remember when you get that little baby in your hands and you think, I don't know much about this baby. I don't know anything about it. I mean, they haven't done anything yet, but I love this child. I'd give my life for this child right here. And then for the next 2 or 3 years, they don't do anything but cry and go to the bathroom and eat and throw up on you. And you love them like crazy. Right? And you'd give your life for them. Then they get a little bit older and you're like, I love them, but I don't like them right now. I'm not sure I like you. I love you, but I don't like you. But there's still something about a parent's love for a child that's just there, isn't it? And so our greatest joys come from our children and our greatest heartaches come from our children, don't they? I mean, we can get so mad at our kids and at the same time still love our kids, be disappointed. Jesus was loved by his Father. Jesus was loved by his Father. And Jesus loved us just like the Father loved him. There was a passionate love of a parent. There's an unbreaking, unending love of a parent. And so Jesus Christ was loved passionately by his Father. And I just want you to hear it afresh. God loves you. He loves you like a child. He loves you like a father to a child. He wants the best for us. He loves us. And don't you know when you have kids, there's times they just don't do things right. There's times it's just they just break stuff, right? But then there's times where you come and you're able to have them sit in your lap or talk with them a little bit and be able to share with them. You know, my son and I, he's in the back seat, he's 11, and we try to talk about everything that we possibly can. The other day he was asking me, what's inflation? So I'm trying to define inflation to him, you know, and then he's asking, you know, we went to the Astros games last night. He's asking, what's a bail bondsman, you know, because of all these bail bonds. And I'm like, don't ever find out. That's all you need to know, okay? So I'm telling him, and what's a pawn shop was the question from yesterday as we drive by. You know, I can tell we've been going through some really good neighborhoods, right? But we're talking about everything, and you know what? I secretly love the questions. I try to act cool like it's not that big of a deal, but I love that. You know, and then so, well, we've been thinking about girls lately. Change the subject, Dad. Change the subject, Dad. Okay. I'll ask tomorrow. But there's a passionate love that you have as a father, you have as a mother. And even if you don't have children, please don't just turn that off. You are a child. And here's what's happened in our society, unfortunately. We don't have a real good picture of father anymore, do we? And so when we hear the love of God as a father, okay, God loves me as a father, so that means he's distant and angry? Because that's a lot of our dads, isn't it? Hey, God loves us as a father, so that means that I need to take care of him? Well, that's not it. God loves us as a father. What does that mean to be loved? And it means to have a passionate love as a father to a son. Number two, he loves us purely. He loves us purely with no wrong motives. Now, that is refreshing. Because don't you know that all of us, me included, we are all in our love. We're streaked and stained with selfish motives, aren't we? Even in our most purest actions, sometimes they're streaked and stained with selfish motives. It's like a window that you'd spray Windex and you wipe the window and then you step back and when the sun really hits it, you see the streaks and stains in it. But you did everything you could to clean it. That's just the human heart in a lot of ways, isn't it? So we always have some little hint of an ulterior motive. And sometimes with our love, we can be loving to try to get in return. See, only secure people can truly love. Think about that. Only secure people can truly love. Why? Because if you're insecure, when you're loving, you're actually looking for something back, aren't you? You're loving to get security. You're loving so that you can get something back. You're loving with an ulterior motive to bring something back to self. So I'm going to give you this gift. Have you ever had this happen? You give somebody a present, but they didn't say thank you enough. You're like, but this is a big deal gift. And they went, oh, thanks. You're like, you better send me a note is what you're thinking, right? We love, and sometimes we don't love purely, and it's so refreshing to know that Christ's love for us is pure. Christ's love for us is pure. And oh man, type A, called to ministry, preacher type person, who a lot of times does for God instead of receives from God, to realize, just being personal, that God's love for me is not based upon how well my last message went. That's good. That's freeing for me. God's love for me is not based upon how the church is going. God's love for me is not based upon how great of a time with the Lord I had that morning and reading my Bible. God's love for me is pure. It's the purest white. It's the purest diamond. It's the purest gold. It's the purest flame. It has no ulterior motives. He's not trying to rope you in to get you on his team so you can do something for him. He's not just a great salesman in the sky. He is a loving father. And just as God loved Jesus, Jesus says in that verse 9, I have loved you. He loves you passionately. He loves you purely. And then number 3, he loves you purposefully. He loves you purposefully. God loves you purposefully. See, if we realize the passionate love of the Lord, if we realize the purpose, or excuse me, the pure love of the Lord, and then we realize the purpose in which he loves us, that it's to change the world, to shape the world. He wants to use us for an impact. Now, a lot of times we feel like we don't have any purpose. We don't know, God, why do you have me here? What's going on with this? What's taking place with this? God has a purpose, and here's what it says in the scriptures. The love of Christ compels us. It sends us out. So watch it come full circle. Only secure people can love. If we are loved passionately by God and we receive that, if we're loved purely by God and we realize that, then we will be loved purposely by God and be used in God's purposes. Why? Because now we're secure. If I'm secure in Christ, that is going to greatly help my marriage. If I'm secure in Christ, that's going to greatly help me giving without needing something back. If I'm perfectly loved in Christ and I realize the purity of his love and the passion of his love, now I can be a secure person, not needy, 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 and we can all get needy, and then lay something out there where we're trying to get something back. And instead to say, Lord, I have a great purpose. Just share with you personally as well in my life. Sometimes I'll preach a message and man, I'm empty after. I've poured the whole thing out and I walk down off the steps and here's what I'm looking for. Somebody tell me that was good. Somebody tell me that was life changing. Somebody tell me that helped. Why? I'm needy at that moment. So what do? Dear Lord, did I do what you wanted me to do? If nobody says anything, can I rest in your approval, not man's approval. Other times, if I'm insecure in a different way, we can base it another way. We can actually, instead of becoming needy, we can become prideful and start pushing our needs away. I don't need anything. Charles Spurgeon said it like this. He was a famous preacher in London. He walked off the stage. A lady walked up to him and said, Mr. Spurgeon, that was the greatest sermon I've ever heard preached. And he said, yes, I know. The devil whispered that to me as I walked off the platform. Think about that. Yes, I know the devil whispered it to me as I walked off the platform. We in our pride can say, I don't need anything. Of course, I knew that was great. But that still negates the love of God. God has given purpose to your life. Jesus had the love of the Father, and what did it do? It sent him with purpose to the cross. Having fixed his eyes on the cross, he bore its shame for the joy that was set before him. And so there he went. We are loved the same as God loved Jesus. Let that blow your mind today, that you are loved as Jesus was loved by the Father. And if you've never experienced the love of Christ, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior to really allow him to wash you clean, that you know you've sinned and done things wrong, you've asked Christ to forgive you and wash you clean, his death was on your behalf, his resurrection was on your behalf, if that's something you've never come to that place, that you've received Christ as your Savior, man, talk to me, talk to somebody, ponder that, because that's the place that the love of Christ becomes real for you. It's when you know Jesus. It's not when you just know Jesus, he's down there at that church. You know him and you've prayed. When I was 16 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. God pulled me out of a whole bunch of trash, goofy stuff I was doing in A-Leaf, Texas, running wild with a bunch of people. And somebody told me, Jesus loves you. And I said, man, he does. And I said, wow. I knew I'd sinned and done things wrong. So I prayed that night, October 21st, 1986, 16 years old. I'm 42 years old. Do the math real quick in your head. And I said, Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins and wash my heart clean and come and dwell in my heart? And the love of Christ now lives inside of me through the Holy Spirit. That's good. I don't always realize it. No, I don't. I have to be reminded of it, which is what I'm trying to do here. So let's look at verse 10, and let's just look at these next two verses and see, okay, how do we really experience this? If you obey my commands, okay, yeah, I knew it was coming. Here it is. I got to do something. No, if you obey my commands, you will remain. Better Greek word would be abide, meaning live in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remained in his love. Now, let me ask you this. Does that mean that basically God's love is based on an if-then statement? If you obey my commands, then I'll love you. No, we keep his commandments to appreciate his love. Now, let me give you an illustration for just a second. It's not to earn his love, okay? Please don't hear it as earn his love. It's to appreciate his love, to understand his love. So when you're with somebody you love, if it's Christmas and that's the, if you stop opening Christmas presents and listen and that's what the kid defined as love, when you have love for a fellow family member, it's not that when you're in good standing with them that makes now you love them. You love them anyway if it's a kid or whatever. But when you are in good standing, now you can appreciate that love between the two. I'll give you an example. This is my son's passport that I have here, and we have to get it renewed. So I was at the office today. We're gonna figure out how to get that done. My secretary's going to help me with that. But so this is his passport, and this passport is what you take when you go, obviously, international. You understand what a passport is. Well, you know what? When you go international, it doesn't mean you have all the things that you have in America. But when you're inside the boundaries of America, you're safe and you're there. We hope safe. You know, I mean, it's a crazy society. But you've got all of the things, all the rights of citizenship. But when you're on a foreign soil, you just got this one little thing that'll get you in the embassy if you need to get in there. And on that little spot of soil, now you're kind of back in America. The commandments of God, when we follow the things of the Lord and we obey the things of the Lord, guess what? That's the place where now we're living inside the field, if you will, of his bounty, living inside the field, if you will, of his understanding. So now I can look and I can go, guess what? This is awesome. Not having an affair is a blessing. This isn't hindering me. This is blessing me in my marriage. Not embezzling money. It's not, oh, golly, Lord, you're so greedy. Oh, why can't I get more money out of this deal? It's a blessing to be honest and have integrity. Why? Because then you get to keep your job. That's why. See also numerous Houston companies, right? And so when we operate within the bounds of the commandments of God, it's not a hindrance to us. It's actually a freedom to us, isn't it? What do I say to my kids? Obedience brings blessing. Obedience brings blessing, right? So, you know, with your kids, or if you had kids, if they do things right, you're like, you know what? You did a great job yesterday on that. That's awesome. That is great. My son's been making super grades, and so we got him a present. We had a basketball goal in our driveway, and it's kind of where you fill it with the water, and somebody named Greg backed over the little thing and busted it, and all the water came out. And then a windstorm happened, you know, got windy, and it blew over, and it shattered on the backboard. So we thought it'd be fair to get a new basketball goal for him. Well, he doesn't know it, but I bought a basketball goal, and it's hidden at the church. I hid it. I don't know where it is, but Mark Bradley, who our staff knows, he hid it somewhere for me. So if my son does really well on his grades, he's going to get blessed by a new basketball goal. Obedience brings blessing. It brings blessing. But what does disobedience bring? It brings non-blessing, no blessing, cursing in a sense, right? It brings bad. So when we walk in obedience in the commandments of the Lord, it's not cumbersome. It's freeing. It's not weights on your ankles. It's track shoes. And when you put the track shoes on the track of the Lord, you're going to appreciate his love. Now, let me give you a quick 7 minutes here on this last thing. Verse 11, the last verse. So what's the end of this? I have told you this, so that my joy, what do you think Jesus' joy is like? All right, this is red letter in your Bible. My joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. The result is his joy in us. Now let's recap this whole thing. What is love? Is love feminine only? Is love childish and not for adults? Or is love something that both genders of all ages can appreciate and say, yeah, I need to be loved. As a grown man, I need to be loved. It's not weakness, it's strength. All we need is love. Yes, we do. How are we going to find it? Well, it's going to have to be heaven, because it's not going real well vertically, or excuse me, horizontally, is it? We can't even love each other in our own houses, much less across boundary lines of countries and thought processes. So here it is. We've got this man and woman to be loved as Christ was loved by the Father. And what was that? That was passionately as a father to a son. That was purely with no wrong motives. That was purposefully to live out our lives for a place of impact. How do we experience that? We experience that by running the track that he's laid before us, staying in the lanes, not as a cumbersome thing, but as a freedom. And then what is the result? Here's the great result. Joy. Joy. Not, what's the great result? Rich. There's a lot of rich people that aren't filled with joy. Now, there's people who say, well, they're rich. They're not happy. No, they're very happy. A Ferrari and a huge house will make you very happy. They might not have great joy, though. Joy is deeper than happiness. Why? Joy is not circumstantial. Happiness is circumstantial. Joy is internal. Happiness is external. Joy is eternal. Happiness is temporary. Joy, hear it, ready? If you're taking notes, this is your sentence to write down. Joy is the presence of Christ, not the absence of crisis. Joy is the presence of Christ, not the absence of crisis. Jesus says, my joy is going to be in you. Do you know much about Jesus? Lots of crisis for this Jesus. Pharisees come against him. He's whipped. He's falsely accused. All of his friends leave him. He's crucified on a cross. This is not a carefree life. It's not the absence of crisis, because here's the bad news, and don't you know it as an adult? Life is never free from crisis. There's always something in there. Everybody around, everybody in this room, we are all so blessed, it's ridiculous. But yet, every one of us has something we'd want to change in our life right now. Everybody. Now, we can get complaining about that, and we shouldn't. But life has crisis. Joy is the presence of Christ, not the absence of crisis. And Jesus says, if you'll understand my great love for you, and you operate in my track, if you will, and you run in the right lane, you'll be freed up, and you will experience, and as his joy is in me, Christ is saying, then my joy will be in you. And that will take you through anything that happens. Have you ever been around people and maybe they don't have what you have, or they don't do what you do or whatever, and you're like, boy, but you got a sweet smile, ma'am. Remember one time in Guatemala, I was helping make, we were doing this mission work there, and they would have these little kids that would come, and we would help feed them, and they would make tortillas, you know, and I never really thought about, I thought the way you make tortillas is you said, sir, could we have another basket of corn tortillas and flour? Thank you. You know, that's how you make tortillas. You go to Papacitas, and you ask somebody, and they bring them to you. Well, they had the flour and the water, and they did the whole thing, and so I'm in the kitchen, and they do this. That's how they make the tortillas. They get these little balls, and you just do this. Well, my tortillas would come out in a triangle, in a square, you know, in like a, look like a hot dog. I mean, but man, these ladies, and they just laughed at me. I mean, in Spanish laugh, I didn't know what they were saying. I was trying to pick out different words. I just kept hearing gringo, you know. And then but I was trying the best I could. Let me tell you what, those little kids coming in, those people making those tortillas, great joy to be able to see those little faces coming in, those ladies. I told the pastor, he was there, I said, you know what, we're here as a bunch of Americans, and I said, there's a lot of people in your country that probably want to come to our country because they want to be like Americans, but let me tell you that today we want to be like you. We want to be like you. Why? Because we saw the joy of Jesus in him. Now, does that negate that we work in nice offices and we have a car and we should go sell everything. And, you know, if God's calling you that, go do that. No question about it. But what I'm trying to get across is this, and my last thing, is that God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. So-and-so betrayed you. God loves you. So-and-so hurt you. God loves you. So-and-so's impure motives. God loves you like he loved Jesus. Receive and ponder the O masculine, the O feminine love of God. Passionate, pure, and purposeful. And when that happens, you'll experience great joy. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we thank you for your love for us. We ask, God, that you would do your work in us and that you would just today show us the love you have for us. We're grateful for that. Lord, you know that we've sinned. There's so many reasons to not love us. Lord, some of us, we don't love ourselves. We're continually beating ourselves up with guilt. And I just thank you, Lord, that your love erases our guilt and that your forgiveness is enough. And I just pray, Father, right here in the city of Houston, downtown, that we would just walk as adults, realizing this isn't a girl thing, this isn't a kid thing, this is a human thing to be loved by God. Thank you for it, Lord, that all of our self-worth is wrapped up in your love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed. Thank y'all. Appreciate it.